This way.
You're good.
Don't make me sing. Halloween, it's scary enough. You know how it is. Last thing they want me to do is sing. I can tell you. Although Rick's not here, we actually could be doing a song if Rick was here. You know, the Beatles song, you know? I mean, Rick, have you all heard the Beatle band yet that Rick's a part of yet? That is one great tribute band, let me tell you. But yeah, we could all write another. All you need is love. Bum bum ba da dum. All you need is love. Bum bum ba da dum. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. Oh yeah. See? Love is all you need. Love is all you need. Yeah, yeah. Very good. That was right. Right. So, that's what Jesus is telling us, right? All we need is love. That's all we need. And everything will work out just fine, except it's not that easy. It's not that easy. Now you think about it today, just this morning, all right? You all are here. It was not easy. Seriously, it was not easy to get here this morning. All the rain that we had, some of us have holes in our roof, got buckets in the bedroom, got all kinds of things going on, and here you are in worship. Some of you traveled a lot further than others had to get here. Some of you didn't get in till late last night, and you got up here and you got here. Some of you have other obligations going on. There are others who are not here, and they're sleeping in, they're doing household chores, they're doing whatever. You chose to be here, not because of the candy, not because you didn't have other things to do. You're here because you love God. It took commitment. It took dedication. It took sacrifice. You did all of that out of your devotion to God, loving God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul. You are totally giving yourself and keeping God as your priority. You don't put God against the second best thing. You put God against the first best thing. That's what it means to be devoted. And you've made that commitment. You're already doing that. Your presence here indicates that. It's not easy. We would think, oh, love, it's just an easy. It's not easy. It's not easy, this love, because it's not just about how we happen to feel about something on a particular moment. True love takes commitment. True love takes action. True love takes sacrifice. All of those things are important, even when we're involved with God. Full devotion means that we're going to say God is more important than how I happen to feel about something at a particular given time. God is more important. Not about our feeling. Oh, I just feel like doing. No, you don't. If you're honest with yourself, you don't wake up every day thinking, oh, I'm just so glad God's given me another opportunity. No, sometimes you're like, God's given me another opportunity. I'm going to tell my boss today exactly what he did. That's the opportunity God's given. No. There are times sometimes we become distracted. It isn't always about how we happen to feel about something. It's recognizing that love requires a commitment. Love requires a sacrifice. We don't always love God because it's an easy thing to do. We love God because we're devoted to God. We recognize that means and requires from us a commitment and a sacrifice. That's what Jesus was doing with the Pharisees. That's what Jesus was doing with us. If you're going to have the priorities right in your life, the first thing you need to do is love. And you love God with everything. Everything. Heart, mind, soul, your whole being. God's not just what I said last week. God's not interested in your spiritual life. God's interested in your whole life, your whole person. Each of us here fully devoted to God. And then tied into that, to love our neighbor as ourself, to recognize that there is a commitment required. And we cannot possibly fulfill that commitment if we are not loving ourselves. I tell people all the time, what do they tell you on the airlines? In case of trouble, that the masks are going to drop down. And what do you do with that mask? First thing you do, the very first thing you do is you put it on yourself. If you're not getting the oxygen, you're not going to be able to help anybody else. You've got to put it on yourself. If you do not love yourself, there is nothing in the well for you to give to somebody else. Not God, not your neighbor. Your very first requirement then is you love yourself. You put the oxygen mask on yourself. You're going to need it. You're going to need it because there's a lot required of us. There's a lot required of us. As Christians, as disciples, the world needs us to be the ones who are modeling the kind of people that God created us to be. This is an opportunity for us to show people this is who God created all people to be. Devoted to Him fully, exclusively. Loving ourselves so that we are able to love others. You've noticed this. What Joe said with the invocation. You've noticed the world is getting to a place again where we're trying to divide everybody up. Divide people up. Divide people up with our language. Dividing people up with our actions. Dividing people. And it's just not, that's not what God intended. That's not who God's called us to be. And so many times we fall into the traps where we allow things to divide us. The airplane, you have first class, and then you have coach. They even have a little curtain that they draw to let you know. All right? You don't get to be up here with the other people. What were the people? They get, you know, the real China or the real, I don't know, I don't fly first class. But apparently they get some special stuff up there. Now, they paid for it, but they get special stuff up there. They get more leg room. You know, us tall people, we need extra leg room. I just wear my shortness as a disguise. To be able to see other people empowers us, enables us to see God. And so many times, we are missing it. We have sometimes such a narrow idea of how we think God is supposed to be. A narrow idea of what God looks like. It's almost impossible for us to sometimes see God in other people. We look around us and say, and if I was to say it right now, I want you to say, God loves me. Say it.
God loves me.
God loves me. Say it again. God loves me.
God loves me.
God loves me.
God.
That's pretty easy to say, isn't it? That works, okay? And now we say, okay, all right, God loves Howard.
God loves
Howard.
God loves
Howard. That's pretty. God loves Linda. God loves Linda. God loves Joe. All right? God loves Happy. All right, we go all the way around. All right, God loves Gary. God loves Eddie. God loves Nicole. God loves Claudia. See how? That's easy. We could lower all. Okay, God loves all the people in this room. All right, that's easy to see. All right? Now, what about? Yeah, you know that list you have? Of people who don't belong? God loves them too. Oh! But He loves us a little bit more, right? It is so hard. Because chances are they don't reflect God's character. Chances are they don't reflect God's nature. Chances are sometimes they're difficult. They are difficult people to love. Most of us have people in our lives that are difficult to love. And yet, when you read the scripture, God doesn't give us an option on that. The commandment stays the same. Love your neighbor. And who's my neighbor? In Luke, when you hear the story, it's the story of the Good Samaritan. Who's your neighbor? Your worst enemy is your neighbor. Your worst. Easy to love God. God's the best. But now we have to love the... It's so hard. It's so easy for us sometimes to be dismissive of people, to not really see people. Did you ever see the movie Patch Adams? Patch Adams, all right? I know my mom has. As my dad's dementia took over and over and over again, watch Patch Adams, watch Patch Adams, watch Patch Adams. But there's a scene in the movie before he becomes Patch, okay, when the doctor admits himself into the mental hospital, and one of the patients comes up to him and says, "How many fingers do I have up? How many fingers do I have up? How many fingers do I have up? Four." Ah, you all idiots. How many fingers do I have up? How many fingers do I have up? How many fingers do I have up? Nah, you're all idiots. Remember this scene? Remember this scene? He would go up. He goes up the path. How many fingers do I have? He says, four. Ah, you're an idiot. You know, and he's totally... But Patch notices that the guy has a leaky cup. Remember? And Robin Williams fixes his cup for him. And the man comes, Arthur comes back into and Robin Williams' room. Says, "How many fingers do I have?" And Robin's like, "Four. I see four fingers." You know, he's apologizing. No. You only see the problem. You've got to look past the problem and see the solution. Remember that? And then the camera, so that now. Now he's not looking at the fingers. He's looking at Arthur. And as he looks at Arthur, the fingers blur because he's looking at Arthur's face. And when the fingers blur, now he sees eight. Because, you know, you get the double, that's what happens. And Robin Williams says, "Eight. I see eight." Remember? And Arthur smiles. He says, "Yes, it's a good answer. It's a good answer." And gets ready to leave the room. He says, "I think you're going to be just fine. I'm going to give you a new name. Patch. You fixed my cup. Patch." If we're truly going to be disciples, we have to look past the problem. We have to look at the person behind what's in front of us. Sometimes we miss the person. We miss the person. We see a problem, but we don't see the person behind it. One of the ways we divide people is about age. Have you noticed that? It's so sad. Nobody grows up saying, "Well, I hope when I'm 85, I can be in a nursing home and just slobber all over myself." Nobody says, "I want to die in a nursing home, isolated and alone." You get feeble. You can't take care of yourself. You can't take care of your physical needs. Nobody wants to live like that. So we put them all together and visit them at Thanksgiving and Christmas and on their birthdays. It's so hard to see these people. I've shared with you a story before. It was woman is in the nursing. Now she was blessed. Her family greatly loved her, did what they could. But sometimes, you know, the needs become so difficult, you can't take care of them. You cannot always be able to do what your heart would like you to do. And in this case, this woman began an inappropriate love affair. Is that a nice way I can say it? With a gentleman friend. Her same age, okay? Actually, you know, he would pick her up, drive her to his place. They spent the night on more than one occasion. I mean, the family's somewhat scandalized. You know, what do you do when your grandmother seems to be having, you know, an adulterous relationship with someone? You know, well, that's nice, Grandma. What do you do? What do you do? But there was one night when she couldn't be with him, and they were having some event there at the nursing home, and it was after hours. He wasn't invited. But so he calls her the next day. And she's telling the family about how this guy is so special to her. And he calls her the next day and says, "Did you have a good time? What did they have to eat? What did you wear?" And tears in her eyes. She says, "Do you know how long it's been since someone asked me what I wore or even cared? What did you wear?" To see past the fingers, past the problems, past the things that would separate us, to recognize that we're all in this together. And the only way we can do that is if we do the first thing, and that is to love God. Because if you're truly loving God, you're going to love all of God's children. You're going to recognize that we're all part of the same family. The first step, of course, is to be able to love God. So when you're finding yourself in those difficult situations, called on to love difficult people, love God. Love God. Continue to fully devote yourself to God until you're able to see, however faint, a family resemblance and the person God's calling you to love. She is their child too. Love God until you see the resemblance in your neighbor. Amen.